Hello and welcome back to another episode of Binge List and Box Office Hits, the podcast about all things film, TV and streaming, with your host, Shannon Holiday, and me, Letitia Thomas.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Binge Lists and Box Office Hits, the podcast about all things film, TV and streaming. I'm your host, Shannon Holiday, and I'm joined in the studio with Letitia Thomas. How are we doing today, Tish, on this final episode of season two?
Yeah, we're all right. Had a morning.
We've had a bit of a morning.
Been busy.
Yeah.
I got my stuff sorted.
Yeah.
Like hours ago.
Yeah, you were up very early.
Okay, I woke up early. I didn't say I was out of bed.
Ah, see, that's the key difference.
But then that being said.
Being productive.
Like.
Or being in bed.
What time did you get out of bed?
About 10:30, 11.
Okay, yeah. I was out of bed by like 8:30.
Yeah, okay. I was up around 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a bit of a sleep in this morning because, you know, had a busy weekend. Got my passport all sorted and all sent off and paid for. And yeah, finally getting that, being an adult again.
Oh, what's that like? No, I kid. I'm pretty adult.
Yeah. We both are in small portions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I was busy this morning. I got some writing done.
So. Yeah. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not finished, but it's getting there.
It's getting there. Yes, we are into our last episode of Binge List and Box Office Hits for season two. We're doing the wrap up special episode as well as the best and worst of 1989. In this episode, because it will be the closest to my birthday, which is in December, and we're going to go through all the movies that came out during that year.
Well, for the people at home that don't want to do math, how old are you going to be this year, Shannon?
I'll be 35.
35.
Mid-30s. Legit middle 30s.
How's that? You got a few years on me.
It's like
what's coming for me?
It's like key midlife crisis. Not many of us are living past 70.
You haven't already had? Plenty of them. Yeah, I've gone through.
Of course I have. Did you not see like the blonde hair situation for a couple of years?
Yeah. We worked very closely together.
We did. We all go through periods of time like that. No, it's I remember when I went through my 30th, like we're 29 to 30. And I was like so worried. I was like, oh geez, like, you know, you're supposed to have your life all sorted and that and do this, do that, and everything. It feels no different once you hit 30 at all. Nothing really changes. As long as you accept the fact that life is the way it is. And I imagine it'll be the same with 35. There's a lot more gray hairs though now with 35 than there was at 30.
You don't want to go blonde now? It'll be easier.
It's half though there anyway. It's just white salt and pepper sprinkled in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is what it is. But my hair's not falling out. So there's, at least I'm not bald.
No, speaking of hair, do you know how grim it is at 27?
Mm-hmm.
To be putting knit shampoo through your hair.
Oh, no.
That was me last night.
Did this happen?
I'm going to add, it's preemptive.
Well, that's better.
I don't have it, but there are people in my household. We don't know where they came from.
Interesting.
No one's been around children.
Animals?
It's not. It's that's not how that works.
Well, I don't know. I haven't had knits since I was like six.
Honestly, I was like, I should shave my head again.
No, you've
actually, thank God I have, because it was so much easier putting that little stupid comb.
Through it, yeah.
Through it. Oh, God, you've got no idea. You never had hair that long, did you? Not as long as I would have had it. Curly nightmare, because we used to brush curly hair then, and your mother's going through it with a knit comb.
Yeah.
Oh, and she was brutal too. She wasn't like, oh, you'd be like crying.
Ripping your scalp.
Someone's
off
holding
with
your
it.
Head.
This isn't Inglorious Bastards. What's going on?
My God. Anyway, that's been me.
Wow, what a time. Knits. Mm. Knits are coming back. It's a real nostalgia kick this episode, isn't it?
Oh, man, I nearly died in the shower. That stuff was toxic. And like,
not a good smell either.
No, and I already nearly passed out in the shower, so I was like, Jesus Christ, here we go.
You need one of those ones with like the poles that are in the side of the
shower.
For old
people? Yeah. Yeah. No, it's only when there's that much fumes. I was like.
Whoa, getting high on that.
We're going to die.
You don't want that. Yeah. You don't want that. What else has been happening this week, Letitia, since I last saw you?
Yeah, really not that much. you know,
the usual work kind of situation.
De-knitting your hair.
De-knitting your hair.
Dealing with writing. Being the only Virgo in a like family full of Leos. That's been a fun time. Yep.
I can't help you
Let's
with that.
Let's not unpack that. Anyone know if you're listening, I am also talking about you. Yes.
Yeah. I got nothing to add with star signs at all.
Here's the thing. I think most of them are, I read it for fun occasionally.
Mm.
But you know how sometimes you can't help but go, hang on, the data is showing me a correlation.
Yeah, but correlation doesn't always mean causation.
Okay, come live my family.
Everyone's family is a bit nutty. Maybe some more than others. I'm looking is you yours. In the eye. Yeah. Yeah. Oh dear.
Anywho.
Yeah. So I obviously got my passport sorted this week and I went down to Byron Bay to get it sorted. I needed my mother's birth certificate to get that all sorted for a new application. It was a whole nightmare. But I got to go see Lennox again and spend some time with the family. I spent some time in the pool, preempting myself for what will be my summer break, which will be cocktails by the pool.
Oh, how beautiful you get one.
Yeah. No, I'm just going to rub that in while you're unfortunately at work.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got about 11 days off.
Thanks.
It's going to be really rough.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. You're welcome.
Thank God we won't be seeing each other for a couple of months. This podcast is off air.
Yeah. There's going to be a break, a long break. I'm not coming in the store. You're not allowed.
You're dead to me.
You're dead to me. Did you catch anything this week that wasn't for the episode?
Not a lot because I did my homework this week, but I did watch a few things. I watched Bestsellers last night, which is a Michael Caine, Aubrey Plaza film.
Michael Caine.
It was on – I don't even know why I do that. Is it just because you do that?
I failed you, Master Wade. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I was like, I don't know where I picked that up from.
It's me.
Yeah, it's like, it was one that was like on SBS that's about to go. Also, side note, if you people don't want to pay for streaming.
SBS On Demand?
They have 1,200 plus movies. 1,200. I was trying to go through them. And
combined
then I was like,
with Broly? You don't need streaming service.
I only have them because I steal from Shannon.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the film. I was like first watching it and I wasn't really sold on like, either of their performances. It's about a woman, Aubrey Plaza, who's inherited her dad's like publishing company, but it's like tanking and they need like some stuff to publish to make money, whatever. And she finds this old contract that her dad had set up with Michael Caine's character and like she needs a book out of him basically. Like she's owed one and she's like, that'll save our company. Sure. And he's like, you know, an alcoholic, a heavy smoker, the typical like old school writer type who just doesn't give.
Mm.
And then he has a book, like a manuscript that she's going to publish and they go on a book tour and blah, blah, blah. But like, and I was like, yeah, I'm not sold on their performances. Yeah. She's kind of like bratty Nepo baby type cast. And he's like that. But then about, I don't know, like halfway through or something, there's sort of like some alchemy that happens in the film and they become people as opposed to like the character types.
Caricatures, yeah.
And then they just have this like really beautiful connection throughout like the second half of the film where they're like in each other's corners now to a degree.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I was sold on it from the second half. It's not a perfect film.
Yeah. It reminds me of that film I watched. I think it's like Paper Heroes or whatever. It was Paper Man or something. It was the one with Emma Stone and Ryan Reynolds and that. Sounds very similar. It's like, I'm not sold, but it's okay.
I was just like really surprised because this is the writer director's like second film and she got Michael Caine.
Yeah, that's huge. What year was it?
It came out 2021, but I think it would have been prior to that.
Yeah.
Probably got COVID.
COVID pushed, yeah.
It pushed. But I kind of enjoyed it. It was like not the greatest thing I've seen, but
it was on SBS.
Yeah, it's like leaving in a couple of weeks, so
yeah, but they got so many, so like you can always pick something.
Yeah, but if you want that one, get on it quick.
Yeah, get on it in the next couple of weeks.
And then I ended up watching just like bits of everything last night because like the TV was on. And there were some bangers. They had like Terminator, they had Sound Music, they had what else was on it? I don't know. There were so many like really iconic movies all on at once. I was like, this is incredible.
This is it.
It was Terminator 2, sorry, because my sister didn't have context. She's not seen them.
Oh, I haven't seen them, so didn't know.
And she's like, I don't get the quote because like I always quote the
come with me if you want to live.
What's the Hunt for the Wilder People?
When
they're like, oh, you're like Sarah.
Oh,
no, but from the second one where she's all like buff and shit. And I was like, I don't understand. And I was like,
yeah, because in the first one, she's like the damsel in distress.
Oh my God.
And then the second one, she's like ripped ass.
I'd seen parts of the second one on TV, like, you know, as a teenager or whatever. And then was like, I think I'd watch like the rest of it and I was like, I need to watch these properly because like that was cool. And then I had to sit through the first one. I was like, who is she?
Yeah. I mean, the first ones, I mean, it's a lot more subdued. It's like way less in terms of like the money they've got for it, the budget and all that. And it's your classic 80s sci-fi movie concept.
Yeah.
Fearing AI. But it's really well done. And I'm so glad they made the second one. Like it's like 7 years later or something. It's quite a while later, surprisingly. It is probably the best sequel ever made.
Oh, 100%.
Ever made.
Oh, my God. Mm. Yeah.
Hands down, it is. I can watch that time and
time
again.
I nearly sat there and I watched the whole thing, but I was like, oh, I kind of want to like.
A part where Arnie, like he has to prove that he's a
Terminator.
So he like cuts the skin off the arm and the hands going. Oh, it's so cool.
I need to it's been a while since I've watched it. So I could do it with a rewatch.
I might do a Terminator rewatch. There's a bunch in there now.
I've only seen the first two. I stopped after that. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, they're the only good ones.
That was
but
what I did with Alien until we did the podcast. And then slowly I've
picked
up a lot of them. Not all of them, but most.
I think you have though, Nelly. Which one haven't you seen of Aliens? Have you seen Resurrection? We want to watch Resurrection for the best and worst of 97. You've seen three. You've seen Aliens. Mm-hmm. And you've seen Alien. Oh, you're talking about like Prometheus and like Covenant and stuff. And obviously the new ones only just come out, so.
And I haven't seen
Romulus is really good.
Is it Predator? The Disney Plus one?
Alien versus Predator.
No, the one that everyone went, was this so incredible?
Oh, Prey is really good. But that's Predator. That's a Predator.
Oh, yeah,
one.
I know. That's why I haven't seen it. Cause
yeah, that's in the different series. I haven't seen all the Predator ones yet either. I've seen all of them, I think, except for the one with Adrian Brody from like 2010. That's like Predators. It's like the third one. It's the only one I haven't seen. I don't think I've heard it's not very
good. I don't think so.
Yeah. That whole franchise has gone in a very weird direction.
Just Hollywood's a mess.
Yeah. Speaking of interesting legacy sequels, I went and saw Gladiator 2 on Friday night. Thursday night. The first night it came out. Fun story. Me and Ben were supposed to book it in once I came back from Lennox, like Byron. And we were supposed to see it last night. Mm-hmm. But classic me trying to book it in. I picked like the time and it was automatically set to day of booking. So I booked it in. I was like, yeah, cool. 8:30 sounds good. Yeah, cool. Awesome. Booked it. And then I got a notification being like, you're seeing a movie in an hour. I'm like, hang on a minute. What? And then I realized it was the day of the date.
Remember how you just said you were like good at being an adult and you're about to be 35?
That's one of those, you know, like random situations that happen. Anyway, I was like, hey, Ben, how do you feel about seeing a...
You started that with classic me and now you're trying to come back and be like, it was just one of those like random one-off situations.
Yeah, look, you can't have the best of both worlds.
I wish I had a Masada.
I'm glad someone got that.
That is a deep cut. Of course I did. Yeah. I was like 10 when it came out.
It was your jam.
I think I wasn't obsessed with... Anyway.
So I went to Ben. I was like, hey, how do you feel about seeing a movie tonight? And he was like, hang on, what? And I was like, well, this situation happened. He was like, I've got to be down at the Gold Coast at 5:30 a.m. tomorrow. I'm like... Yeah, but like I've booked it. So he's like, fine. So we went and we didn't get home till, because it's a 2.5 hour movie at Event Cinemas that gives you half an hour of ads. So it's 3 hours from 8:30 to 11:30. We didn't get home till nearly 12. And I was like, well, enjoy getting up in 4 hours, Ben. Bye. But I think he did fine. It was a good movie. So I'll talk about the movie now.
Apparently they cut a bunch from it though. I keep seeing stuff now.
Yeah, I mean they do that with every film, right? Like they just got to kind
of
keep
the best bits. There's some controversial cuts.
Is there? Okay. Well, for the cut I saw in cinemas, it was quite good. It's never going to live up to the nostalgia of the first one or like the legacy that is the first one.
I think that's
the
thing. When something's an original idea and it's incredible.
You also had 25 years to like love it, right? And I agree. Like it's hard. It's just a hard situation. This movie was fantastic. But you also had, it's always going to be compared to the first one.
Well, it has to be. It's a direct.
Yeah, it's a direct sequel. Same director. And like it completely correlates to the first one. And you also had like Russell Crowe probably doing his best performance in his career in Gladiator, right?
Oh, the first one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, incredible.
Is he cancelled now?
No, you're thinking of Mel Gibson.
Yeah, right.
I can see how you've made that mistake. No, Russell Crowe.
It's hard
Crow,
to keep up with who's not cancelled now.
Russell Crowe just keeps doing like those weird exorcism priest movies.
Oh, yes.
And he's done like two or three of them in the row that are like exact same film.
Yeah. There's the exorcism really and then the Pope's exorcism.
That's it. They're both and the I'm same like, film.
Are they not the same?
No, they're not.
It's kind of crazy.
And they came out like a year apart, but they got the same cover pretty much as well of him like holding a cross.
Are you, you know what my job is, right?
Writing?
No, the one that pays me.
Oh, okay. My mistake.
I'm looking at that stuff daily.
Yeah, so you know exactly.
I know the cover.
Do you get confused? It's like the Simpsons meme where it's like Mr. Burns who finally shops for himself for the first time. He goes, ketchup, catsup, ketchup, catsup. Oh, I'm way over my head here.
There's a lot of films now because there's so many like sequels and like
legacy.
Yeah, it's like which one do you want? It's something about this.
Oh, I want Scream. Yeah, here's Scream. No, the newest Scream. So Scream from 2021. Yes. And the sequel to Scream, which is Scream 6.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
It's that with like the Yellowstone sequels too. It's like 1923, 1983, 1920 something. Like you know, the one that comes before. Which one do you want?
The one with Harrison Ford and Helen Mirren in it.
Yeah.
Which is like 1929, which is also a spin-off to Yellowstone.
I get the...
What is happening here?
Yeah, that one I just gave up. I was like, it's 19 something and it's the Yellowstone one. Yeah.
It's just trying to capitalize on a franchise. Like, everything needs to be a franchise these days. I know we're on a rant right now, but, like, I'm legit about it. Like, everything needs to be a franchise. And if one thing does well, everything needs to be connected to that name, right? So it's like, we'll make money off that because it has a name it did well.
It makes me want to kill myself. You know what it used to sell?
The original fact that ideas?
A good studio was making something. You'd be like, oh, this is a Warner Brothers film. So you'd be like, sick.
Well, I mean, there's still, like, studios that do well. It's like A24 and Neon. If you see those two names, you're like, okay, it's probably going
to
be a good film.
Yeah, because they're indie and they buy good ideas.
Blumhouse used to be like that, but now it's just utter trash.
They're just, like, no one's interested in making films that are worth watching, and it truly, like...
I get it's a business, but Jesus Christ.
It's always been a business.
It has been.
Like, one of the longest standing businesses that's run on the same, well, not so much now, in the last 10, 15 years, but apart from that, the same model successfully.
I know, I can see your frustration. Yeah. It's funny, and I think, look, times are changing with obviously streaming and that, and you can see movies in different forms and different places. When we went through 1989, when we were picking movies from that, once I scrolled down like probably like 20 or 30 movies, there was like nothing else, you know, from that year. You only had about 30 movies come out for that year that were like, you know,
notable.
Big and notable. You go to this year's one, 2024, even I've seen already 86 movies, and there's others that are like big tentpole ones that I still haven't seen yet. It's insane, right?
Like, it's crazy. And I think, I mean, I've been on a rant about this all week, so I'm going to try and keep this brief, but like, I'm just so frustrated with the way the world is right now. Everything's online. No one's thinking for themselves. Like, you used to go to like a video store. I know I sound old now, but you used to go to a video store or you'd go buy films and stuff. Mm. And you'd pick it up and you'd be like, oh, what's this? And you'd look at the cover.
Read the back.
And you'd read the back and you're like, oh, blah, 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 blah. Oh, this sounds like something for me. And then you'd go take that home. You'd watch it. You'd form your own opinion. And then you'd go about your life that way. Now you get online. Your algorithm's already feeding you something. The same idiots that you're following online. Some of them look, some of them have fantastic taste. Some of them don't. But you're just getting fed the same ideas about what to like.
Yeah, and then what to from think, Netflix and, stuff
and then what to think about what you like. On top of that, I don't know how many times I have to go on YouTube and it's like ending explained. I'm like, what? There's no twist at the end.
Yeah, especially for films that are like pretty straightforward.
I know it's like Barbie it's this, ending explained. I'm like,
this wasn't an interpretive movie. Like, it wasn't vague.
Captain America ending explained. Like, what do you mean ending explained? Like, it just, oh my god, it sends me mental. And there's just all this crap and then studios are making garbage. The whole thing's just no one thinks for themselves. Before,
and it's, you mentioned obviously Red One and how much money that's gotten for a movie like that. You're like, it's like $260 million or something budget. And you're like, oh, I asked you, it was like, so is it doing well? Because I literally haven't looked it up. You're like, nah, it's not doing well at all. I'm like, I could have told you that. It looks awful. It looks awful.
Don't know how you spend that much money on like CGI and crap. And like, I was watching Disney pulled out one of those like making ofs of like Agatha All Along. They had a $40 million budget for the entire thing.
Which is crazy for a TV show and on like streaming.
Everyone, like, I don't, like, if you've seen the show, go and watch this like full hour of like making of.
Is it that like assembled, like Marvel assembled show? Yeah.
I thought a lot of it was practical, right? And then you see this and you're like, almost nothing was CGI. If you want to like talk about it like that, the amount of detail that went into this show, the amount of miniatures they built, sound stages, backdrops, the effort that went into the costuming, like
yeah, it's insane.
It's actually like
it just goes astounding. To show, and we've said this probably a couple of times in this,
and it's Disney
show Plus's, is like you can make a fantastic show on less money. I don't know where it is rated highest at the moment. Yeah,
of all like Marvel TV shows, it's still in
the top. Like, you know, the top watched for Disney, it's always up the top.
Yeah.
Whether it's like 1 to 5 or like where it moves around, but it's always in there.
Oh, yeah.
So it's being watched. But it's just like, still being watched. And it's finished like a month ago.
The care that went into making that just.
Yeah.
It kind of restores your faith in the business because you're like, oh man, people still care.
Well, they do.
But they put that much.
But I don't know. And I agree with you entirely.
They built like models.
Yeah.
Like,
and not much money. Where the hell is this $250 million for Red One going?
Yeah, that's what I was like, what? But like, is what, an marketing? Hour and a half?
Is it marketing though? Like, where is the money going?
But that's partially a separate budget.
I don't think it is. I think they do include it in, but I don't know. I need to find out.
Yeah, anyway, that's regardless, my rant.
Okay, the reason why it's only done 38.9 is it only just got released in the United States on the 15th, which is 16th, which is yesterday. It was 6th of November in UK.
Yeah.
So just wait. It might do a lot better.
It hasn't done well, but it's just like comparing to what they spent. But yeah,
so far it's only done 39 million on 250. Now remember, like we've said this countless times.
Double it to break even.
It's got to double to break even. It has to make at least 500 million to be like, oh, this is making money for us. it's insane. What studio is making this? Oh, it's Amazon MGM. So it'll be straight on Amazon Prime in about a month. Probably just in time for Christmas.
Do they want bums in seats or do they not want bums in seats?
I don't know. I don't know the plan. It's
worth, I don't think they know the plan. But that's been my rant this morning.
And then obviously, I was on the back of Gladiator, if we go back. it's a good film. It's worth seeing. The spectacle of the Colosseum is still as great as it was in the original film. The fight scenes are probably more frenetic, more, you know, vicious than the first one. It's done quite well. Paul Mescal is quite good as like the gladiator in this one. He's obviously a up and coming rising star. You'll see him in so many more movies in the next couple of years. Like we said, when we saw After Sun, it's like he's got something. That movie was still hands down one of my favorite films. That's just heartbreakingly beautiful. I want to pick it up. It's on Blu-ray now. So
again, do you know what my job is? Who told you it was on Blu-ray?
Oh, I've been watching.
Who said, hey, Shannon, we got it.
Yeah. I've been watching the website when things come out. I want to make sure I get the right amount of applied discount and all that. So, yeah, no, he's obviously been in that. He's been in All of Us Strangers and now Gladiator. So you don't be surprised if you see him in a lot of other A-plus movies. But the big standout performance was actually Denzel Washington.
He had a gay kiss they cut.
Yeah, it's alluded to that he's open to anyone in the film. Right.
I mean, they're Roman.
Yeah. He's very, like, whatever floats his boat at the time type character.
Again,
which is very, you know, sign of the times. Roman.
Yeah, yeah. Less so than the Greeks were more into it. Bless them.
Yeah, bless their souls. But it's not hidden in the film. They might have cut the kiss, but it's definitely not a hidden point.
Good for them.
Yeah. He's very like, oh, who cares? Like, just do whatever I feel good at the time.
I mean, I know nothing about this film, actually. I can't speak on it.
Have you seen the first one?
Yes.
But a long time
ago. But like, I remember the whole thing? Not at all.
I rewatched the first one this week or like the start of this week to get ready for the second one. But there was a lot, like I knew ends up at the end. I know that but watching it again, it was like pretty much nearly a fresh take.
I think I would have watched it at some point in school and we were watching a lot of.
Well, yeah, it's a 2000 movie.
Like that kind of stuff in ancient history.
Yeah. It's an incredible film for 2000.
There were some films. I think it was 300 we were watching. Yeah. There was one movie we were watching.
The Spartan one.
Every now and then. I can't remember which one, but.
Troy? Also good.
I just told you I can't remember.
Is it Troy?
My teacher, because this is when we used to plug the laptops into the projector boards. And every now and then he'd be like, oh, cover your ears, children. And he'd reef it out. He'd skip the sex scenes and then he'd plug it back in. He's like, I'd let you watch it, but really we shouldn't even be watching this much. So he just bless him.
It's either, funny. They've all got one sex scene.
And we'd all be like, just playing along with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. Because, you have to get approval or anything over M.
Oh, he never got approval. No, I know. Like, we have to skip these bits.
Quick. Go. You understand what's happening there? Yeah, cool. Yeah. All right, let's move on. Yeah. This isn't PE.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That's fun.
That's pretty much all I watched. There was a couple of movies for obviously 1989 and the two Gladiator movies, which is, very exciting to get back on that. It's a big spectacle movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to do well. I recommend seeing it if you want fun, fun popcorn flick that you're going to be entertained. Are you not entertained? Yeah, it's a quote from the first one.
I know. I did the...
Yeah, did the thumbs down. Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful. All right, moving on. I think we should get into... I think we should structure it with best and worst of 2024 first.
Sure. I mean, I don't have really the best and worst. I just had things I liked.
Yeah, well, let's go with that. So let's do a couple and go from there. Were there any surprises from this year that you saw and you were like, happily delighted by?
I think for me there was two big ones. Well, I say big, they felt big to me.
Mm.
Because I went into them like fully blind.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Civil War.
Yeah
definitely a little bit daddy-o, which I thought I'd just bring up because it's recent. But Civil War definitely for me, because I hadn't seen pretty much anything.
No trailer, nothing.
And you said, do you want to go see Civil War? And I said, sure, let's go.
Yeah.
And that movie, like, I remember just coming out of the cinema and you just,
it's very thought-provoking.
You have that feeling in your chest that like won't go away, because you're just like, holy. Like, I didn't know it was going to be this kind of film, but very, like, it's sticking with me.
But also, like, it's very relevant today, right? Like, it's not to get into political standpoints or anything, but it's, there's an element that could go that way. And that's why I think we're like, oh shit, like, it's not far. Like, not much would need to happen to get to that point.
Yeah, it felt not so much physically relevant, but emotionally relevant to where we're at, where like the tensions are just so high.
Yeah. Yeah.
And everyone's kind of on such an edge at the moment. Like, you just have to look around the bloody world. Like,
yeah, it's true.
To get to that point, like, emotionally, like, we're there already.
Yeah.
Whether, like, when, I'm not saying, you know, Civil War's about to break out, but no, like. But
yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And the performances were top notch. Like,
my God.
Kristen Dunst and Kayleen Spaney.
Yeah.
Perfect.
They were like, the way that they, their arcs crossed.
I was going to say, yeah, their story arcs were
beautifully
written. Fantastic. Yeah. A24.
That was my big, like, I had no expectations, but saw that movie and was like, damn.
Yeah.
Like this one, yeah.
And the other one was, you said Daddy-O.
Daddy-O, yeah. They're ones I like didn't know. And then there was a few that I saw that I really enjoyed this year, but.
The two standouts for me. I'll after this too, I'll read out my top 10 just quickly.
I do not have 10, but go on.
Well, I've been, because I'm anal, I've got them all numbered.
Oh, yeah. He letterboxes it.
I letterbox it. So The Substance from this year.
You love that.
I saw the trailer when it first got announced and showed off. I was like, there's something about this, right? Like, the trailer was, it captivated me. So I was like, okay, I'm going to see this. Once I find a time, I'll go out and watch it. This is a wild ride of a movie. It's insane. It's like 2.5 hours of body horror ASMR and just visually stunning film. The sound, the score, the acting. Demi Moore, like, just puts everything into this role. Like, I've never seen someone commit to a role lately as much as what she did in this. Does it go off the rails towards the end? Yeah, but I like that way. Like, I like where it went. I loved it. I love the story. I was pleasantly surprised about this. Like, obviously it's about like female body image, especially in like Hollywood and that, and like what we perceive, like when, you know, a woman gets older, how we treat them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's on the nose a little bit, but it's done in a way that you're like, yeah, okay, cool. I understand the metaphor. It's wild. It's hectic.
I do want to see it, although you did kind of lose me at ASMR, but I'll do my best.
Oh, you get, it's hard to say you get used to it, but you there's so much else there that you go, I'm going to be along for this ride.
Yeah, I'll work it out.
You'll get,
yeah.
As long as you don't have headphones on while watching, I'm one of those people, you'll like, not like it.
You know how like you can have like, they do all that dumb crap on YouTube now where they'll be like, whatever actor, and they're like ASMR. Like, I think it's Vanity that does a bunch of them.
Yeah.
I can watch every interview I've ever seen ever by like certain people.
Yeah.
And those ones come up and I'm like, I'm sorry, no, I cannot do this. Like, it makes my skin crawl, but you know.
Wild.
That's fun.
The other one from this year was Anora.
Mm.
I realized it was a Sean Baker film pretty early when I saw like the poster go out, because the post went out ages ago. And I was like, oh, I know the writing is exactly like every Sean Baker film has that font.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it's a Sean Baker film. And I loved the last one. I saw Red Rocket and I thought it was great. And he's also done the Florida Project and stuff like that. So checked out the trailer. And I was like, yes, this is, it's like gritty. It's real. And then when I saw it, it was like, this is way better than I expected it to be. It's just like, it's just this wild ride of a night that this lady has to go through after, you know, falling in love with this particular character, and then this the situation of trying to find him. It's it's an experience. It's doing quite well at the cinemas as well. So it obviously came out in a wide release about 2 weeks ago in the US.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, they're looking like, what was it, Mikey Madison's the main actress who plays it. She might be up for an Oscar nom for it.
I'm excited to see this once it gets a bit of a wider release. Yeah. I think it's coming out, you said Boxing Day.
Boxing Day here but in Australia.
I'll give it like a week or so. Yeah. Maybe when I take time off, I might.
It's worth it. I'd love to hear your opinion on it. So my top 10. Here's my top 10 for the year.
Okay.
From what I've seen up to
and then I'll talk about some others that I...
Yeah, and then I'll say some disappointments as well. So my top 10. One, Dune Part 2. Two, Challengers. Three, Anora. Four, The Substance. Five, Inside Out 2. Six, Civil War. Seven, Deadpool and Wolverine. Eight, Alien Romulus. Nine, Love Lies Bleeding. And 10, Furiosa.
Okay, I've forgotten that Inside Out 2 was this year because I was looking through my letterbox and I must have like...
You must have not
read it.
Yeah.
Because I did like my list and then I was like, wait, hold on.
Hang on a minute.
Hold on, that was so much fun.
It was so much fun.
Oh my God. Yeah. Pouchy.
Oh my God, that was the best one. He's trying to reach some stuff out of Pouchy's mouth. I was losing
that weird like cavity thing and like all that weird happening and he like...
Was that monster that's in the closet still or the vault? And it's like, we'll keep that buried. It's just really fun in jokes that were in there as well. It was really good. It was a good, fun film.
Also, Paula.
Yeah, she just, yeah.
I nearly went to Sydney when she was in Sydney.
I mean, you should have.
No, here's the reason we didn't. Because I talked about it that morning, being like, maybe I should go, maybe I shouldn't go. And then I messaged my friend that night, like my other friend.
Mm-hmm.
Who lives in Queensland with me. And I was like, oh my God, should we look into it as a whim? Because I was like, I cannot logically spend the money to go. And then we looked into tickets and the only ones left were like $30 tickets where you couldn't even see. It was like restricted. Like,
restricted view. Like, there's a pole in front of you. You're like, so
that
great,
genuinely
great.
Probably was the reason that we didn't. Because had it, that given like, you know, a few more hours and I could have got a real ticket, I probably would have been there.
Oh, 100%. You need to see Amy Poehler before you pass.
I didn't meet Nick Offerman, but I was in
the front row for his show.
In the front row for his show, and we sung Thousand Candles in the Wind, and that was...
That's a moment.
It was
a
real
moment you'll never forget.
It was... it was so beautiful, and I just... Oh, Paula, I love her so much.
It was a good film. It was a really good film.
Really good film.
Yeah. No, I'm happy with that top 10. There's a few that were just outside it, like Smile 2, I'd like to note. Blink Twice was just outside it as well. And... Yeah, like things like Twisters and Daddy-O were just outside as well. All great films.
Really like a top 10 because I just...
You're not like me with the...
No,
my brain OCD that
I can't do
list.
Numerical stuff. It like stresses me. Yeah. But one I really enjoyed is documentary, Will and Harper.
Yeah, you have
to. I think that is just... That was incredible. Like I only saw it the once and I probably will rewatch it at some point. But that just stood out to me as like... I didn't expect to watch it this year. I wasn't thinking about it. Didn't know it really was a thing. And then it popped up right as it was being released. And I just...
You put it on. Yep.
Put it on. And that was like such a stunning documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Love Lies Bleeding.
Yep.
Had so much fun in cinemas, that one. Mm-hmm. Just the aesthetic of it even.
I think that's what got me was the aesthetic. The acting was fantastic.
The acting is fantastic
well.
And whatever. But just the commitment to it stylistically within that was just...
I need to watch it again. I've only watched it that one time we went to the cinemas.
Twice.
Yeah, I need to watch it again.
Well, I bought it, so I was like,
I've
I have to watch.
I got it too. I haven't watched it yet. I do that a lot though. If I see a cinema, like a movie in the cinema I love, I'll pick it up.
Me
when
too.
It comes out.
I got to go through watch all my it eventually, stuff on our break, so it feels worth having bought it
I'm the
six
same.
Months ago.
Yep.
And then my other one was His Three Daughters. That was like my big one.
Yeah, that was top 15 for me.
Which I have seen.
Which is not far out the top 10. You've seen like three times.
Three times and genuinely was considering rewatching it the other day because I needed a good cry, I think.
Yeah. You need to watch All of Us Strangers, please.
I'm scared of it, but also I will.
But well, you're going to cry anyway.
But like, yeah, I know, but I haven't it's been in the so mood beautiful to watch it because I've had
like a tragic, beautiful all
this
story.
Podcast stuff to watch as well. Yeah. And I'm like, I can't have a meltdown in the middle of the week.
No, I mean, it's topical. You could bring it up. I'm kidding. No, completely understand.
Yeah, I think that one. And a part of it was just seeing that in a like
theater. You got to see it in the theater. Yeah, 100%.
And that whole film is stunning. But yeah, in a theater with not a lot of opening credits or like ads or anything. And you sort of got into it.
How beautiful is it not having ads? Because Biff didn't have any. I think
they had a few, but it wasn't like, it didn't feel super long. Maybe there were a full amount, but
yeah.
It was just me and this one
other like, guy,
middle-aged guy behind me.
Shared experience.
And then I could hear him sniffling at the end and then I was just like, yep, same. And it was just, I don't know, it was one of those things where like, it was just a weird human moment.
Yeah, but it's also film. Really nice.
And because it's such a quiet film too, that in a theater with like not much else going on.
Yeah, the experience would have been better in a theater.
And I'm mad because it's like showing like on repeat in America right now because of the awards and there's all these like Q&As and stuff. And I'm like,
can I please move?
Can I please? Trump, I'm scared. It's your America right now. But like, I want to go see these things.
That's right. You'd go to California. That was.
Yeah, that was me last time I was in Trump's America and I had an American idiot shirt and I was like, oh, I'm in danger. And they're like, we don't like him here either. I was like, cool.
California's fine. California's fine.
Yeah.
Disappointments from this year for me.
Tell me.
I've got about 3 or 4.
Okay.
I'm going to start off the rank with Madam Web.
Was that this year?
That was this year. It was like February, but yeah. Superhero film, Dakota Johnson. It's in the world of Spider-Man, and you expect it to be it's a superhero film. There should be a level of like, you can't go below this to be like, okay. You know what I mean? Like it's a stock standard pretty much story. Yeah. You shouldn't F that up. This movie does. So the weirdest editing I've ever seen of any film. It's so choppy. It's so choppy. And then the villain of it is, he's got a very thick accent. I think Spanish. And they must have decided after filming his scenes that, sorry, it's not really quite understandable to hear. So pretty much all his scenes are ADR'd. Or they've refilmed it where he's mostly says his lines from his back's turned and yet again ADR'd again. It's pretty rough.
Wowie.
Yeah, and obviously the promotion, the trailer of the film shows that the three girls wear the suit a lot in the trailer. That's the only scene that you see in the movie where they wear the suits. So they're really promoting something that's not really in the film, and I hate that so much. So much. So it was a bit of a disappointment, but it's also got that iconic line. It's like, I've sent it to you a couple of times. It's like, he was with my mother in the Amazon studying spiders right before she died. And the writing is awful. It's really funny. It became a meme out of like this year.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was a bit of a disappointment. The other two were Trap, the M. Night Shyamalan movie that came out around August. The trailer was really good. It was like, oh, this is going to be a thriller, action-packed. It's the idea of someone being, you know, a killer, and they know they're going to be at this concert and the police come in to capture it and they've got to try and find who it is. But the trailer kind of gives away that it's Josh Hartnett's character, but then I was like, oh, man, maybe it's like it's an M. Night Shyamalan movie. Maybe it's not him. Maybe it just makes it look like it is. And then the film's like, yeah, it is, straight away. And also, it was mostly made just to showcase his daughter's singing career. So not only, like, it's at a concert, right, but, like, his daughter, who is trying to become a singer, is the, quote-unquote, like, Taylor Swift character who's up on the stage that everyone's there to go see. And you get full song moments in the movie, where they're just like the characters are sitting there bopping along and you get to pretty much hear an entire song play out before something else happens with the characters. You know what I mean? Like it's, and then she becomes like a weird, like it doesn't know who, I think I said this when I went and saw it. It doesn't know who to follow. Like obviously Josh Hartnett's like the main central character, but then when it gets to like act two or act three, it follows someone else. Like act two, it follows her character's name is Lady Raven. And then she becomes the protagonist. Act three, it becomes the wife's character who's the protagonist and follows them, like, as, like, the lead. It's a mess. It's such a mess. It's so bad. I was so mad. So mad. So that was my disappointment. I mean, I've got plenty of others. Like, there's obvious ones that were always going to be at the bottom of the list. The ones that are always on Netflix, like, your Atlas, Uglies, yeah. Space Cadet.
Yeah.
It was always going to be, like, they're not made to be good. Lift, Die Hard 2.
Which is got like a lot.
Kevin Hart. Afraid, that AI movie, mm-hmm. Afraid was down there. Yeah, there's obvious ones that were obviously never going to be good, but, like, they're the ones that were surprisingly, yeah.
You know what's funny? As you were talking about all that, I'm like, how have we not mentioned Megalopolis again?
I mean, Megalopolis, it was near the bottom, but I don't think it's the worst thing I've seen because it's...
That's what's funny. It's like...
It's not.
It's like it's not the worst, but also like, what was it?
What I'm was
still
that?
Not sure.
I can't... If someone said, explain Megalopolis in two sentences, I'd be like, I can't. That's your two sentences.
I kind of... Like, I'm kind of like, cannot wait until enough time has passed since that movie's
gonna be
come
a cult
out.
Film.
Where one, it's a cult film, but two, like the cast and crew are able to speak on it
freely.
A little bit more. Yeah. Yeah. Like not in a like we're gonna crap on it way, but just like an honest.
Just explain what happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
Because
I'm gonna pick it up because I wanna see some of the making ofs.
Yeah.
I really need to. Otherwise it might help. It might help. I just love that we've gotten a meme out of it. Get back to the club. That's I've seen that everywhere lately.
God damn it, Jerry.
God damn it, Jerry. That was great. That was so
I've been trying
good.
To find that moment
meme,
to
yeah.
show Brittany.
Because it's good. It's so her
so
playing.
Her.
Like, God damn it, Jerry.
God damn it.
Oh, we laughed so hard at that in the cinema.
Oh my God. I think I cried.
Yeah. It
was good. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty close to like a Janet Snakehole impression, which it's coming. I will do one Halloween. I just don't have the hair right now.
You need, yeah, the
I did a I'll show you the video I sent Brittany where I was just like on Halloween. It was close enough.
Do you have any disappointments from this year? Like, it doesn't have to be movies. Like, were there any TV shows? I think I've got one in terms of TV shows, but yeah, and I think you might agree with me. High Country.
Oh yeah.
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 Because we were so excited for this when we went to, what were we there for?
I remembered and then it went.
It's blanked. So
oh, the actors.
We were down there for actors. That's right.
Excuse us, it's the first year they've done the festival.
We were there. Yeah, and they showcased that, you know, the Q&A in the trailer and it looked really cool. And then when I watched it, I was like, there's just some element missing.
Well, that was
right?
That was my other one. I was going to talk a little bit about like films that, or not films, sorry, TV that I watched this year that I quite enjoyed.
Oh, please.
And one of my big ones was like Boy Swallows.
Oh, that
Boy
was
Swallows
amazing.
Universe, which I completely forgot was
this year.
Was
it this year?
I think so.
It might have been right at the start.
Might have been
way,
right at the start. Yeah, it was like, phenomenal. I think it was one that maybe came out like Christmas.
Yeah,
so like
you might have seen it this year. Yeah.
How you want. But yeah, that one was like, that was one of my big ones this year that I really, really enjoyed. Obviously, like I've been watching Agatha, that's insane. But like I also watched like Hacks this year. I got into season 3 of that,
yeah.
Which is still relevantly like this year. And that's some incredible TV. Oh my God, Shannon.
You love that, yeah.
You will have fun with it. You will.
Well, I got a summer break. So
it's,
yeah.
They're scathing. It's beautiful. It's so good.
It was this year, Boy Swallows.
Yeah.
11th of January.
Yeah, it came out like early.
Oh my God.
Yeah, right? This year's felt like very long and like.
Weirdly, yes and no. Though.
Yes and no. It's weird. It's like the year's gone. What have I done? Not much, but time.
Time is elusive, isn't it?
She is. She's elusive. Mm. Yeah, I watched True Detective. That was cool with like.
Oh, I never finished
Jodie Foster
that. I
and,
want to though.
Kaylee Reese. And then the other one I randomly put on the list because it popped up was like that Bodkin that I watched on Netflix. That was like, it's not fantastic.
Is that
don't get me
Pete
wrong.
Davidson?
Nah, that's the.
Bodkiss. it is.
That's the one with Will.
Arnett? Will.
The one I always forget. It might be Arnett. And it's got a bunch of people
it's
in
Will
it.
It's Will Forte.
Will Forte.
I know. He's the comedian that's Twilight. Yes, Twilight.
Yeah, oh my God, he is.
It's him, yeah.
Oh, I never put the two together.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't watch that show again.
No.
But that was like one I just like, someone told me at work, you should watch it. And I like sat, sorry, I bumped the mic. I sat and watched it like that night. And it was, it's not like perfect TV, but it was like,
yeah,
fun.
I'm reading up on it.
Yeah.
It looks pretty cool. Yeah, that was this year as well.
I know,
there's so many.
So much stuff. And that's like not even scratching the surface of like all the big shows. This year was weird because of all the strikes as well.
Yeah, things were delayed.
So everything's been like a bit shuffled. Yeah. But yeah, that was like kind of my this year. I'm excited for next year when like everything gets comes into back. I know everything is noisy.
Stop touching things.
I can't.
Yeah, it should be back to kind of like a normal kind of schedule, I think, next
year.
Yeah,
like we're getting yellow jackets. Oh my God, yeah. I can't wait for that.
Yes, they've started to like tease that now, which is really good. That I reckon should be the first quarter of
There's
the year.
There's supposed to March, be I reckon. Like a bonus episode that we were
That's
supposed
not
to get.
Happen. They did say that, but it's not
But I
happen.
Think.
They just moved it into
probably. They probably the, did, yeah.
Yeah, because it's like, why?
It's also like one shorter, I think, just because they didn't
yeah,
have
It is
time.
One shorter. Yeah. Yeah, I saw that as well. It's like eight.
Oh my
episodes.
God, I'm so excited. I've been waiting to get back into that. I haven't read like, there's an episode, the finale episode I found the script of and I've been like dying to read that for like 6 months.
Well, now you can.
I haven't. Yeah, I'm just going to like dive in.
Yep.
Yeah, love that show so much.
They delayed Mickey 17, unfortunately, from January to like April or May.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, which is really disappointing because that's like one of the first things I was looking forward to next year was Parasite director's movie.
Oh, is that what that
it's,
is?
Yeah, it's Bong Joon-ho.
Yep.
Yes, I had to remember it. But yeah, no, it's his next film. It's got Robert Pattinson in it. They've got the trailer. It looks fantastic. Looks great. And I was like, yes, I'm so keen for that. And they've delayed it again because it also was delayed this year to January next year. It was supposed to be like mid-year.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm keen for next year. I'm hoping that we get some more original stuff, but probably not.
Well, I don't know if you've seen it yet. Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning
Ooh,
trailer.
Oh, I haven't.
We'll watch it after this. Don't okay. you worry. I'm so keen. Because you quite enjoyed the eighth
I
one. You did.
Did
say
I
that.
Really
yeah,
enjoyed
yeah.
that. And then I bumped into good old Hayley Atwell.
You did when you were in Greece.
In Santorini.
Yes.
Yeah. Why well, did I say bumped into? Didn't quite. Yeah. Would have. If you said, did you turn around and say hello? I was like, no, if I turned around, I would have hit the woman.
You should have.
No. She was like undercover trying to go on a like little like nice Greek holiday.
You should be like, hello, I like Mission Impossible. Thank you.
No.
You're not
no.
bad as Peggy Carter either.
No.
Thanks.
No, I respect a woman. I was not going to disrupt her holiday.
That's fair enough. We got some other big
movies.
I would
have been shot down.
You would have
been. There was a crowd of people.
Were they following her?
No one knew she was there.
Right.
The okay. only
was she with like her partner or something or by herself?
I think she was by herself.
Oh.
But I noticed it because someone was holding like one of those like little... You know, they have people picking people up and they hold his paper.
Yeah.
And I said Hayley Atwell, but it was misspelled. And I turned to Nadia and I said, do you reckon that's like the Hayley Atwell?
And then you saw her.
Like how many? And I sort of, someone was talking behind me and I was like, that's a British accent. And I sort of.
Looked just
She was like here.
She was, so you
like,
glanced.
Literally,
yeah,
if
like
I
right
had
next to your
lifted
face,
my hand, I would have.
Hit her.
Yeah, which is not okay. And we just went, oh, that's definitely her. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, that was it.
And she wandered off to them and you went
And then we saw her on Instagram. She definitely wasn't Santorini, so
yeah,
it was definitely her.
Yeah, you looked it up.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Of course.
I did because you were like having a panic. You're like, oh my God.
That's well, it's crazy. You're right next to Hayley Atwell.
Yeah.
Peggy Carter. Really cool. We do have a couple of big movies next year, actually. Obviously, you got The Wicked Part 2. You got Captain America in the first part of the year as well, which actually the trailers are selling it now. Avatar 3.
Really?
Mm-hmm. At the end of the year, but it's still coming. Ballerina from the world of John Wick, which is Ana de Armas playing basically the John Wick character for the female version.
I've not seen them.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I'm not having a go.
We haven't done a Keanu Reeves podcast.
Well,
so
we
I haven't
might
got
do.
To it
we'll
yet.
Either do a John Wick episode or a Keanu episode. Keanu should be good. He's got such a versatile career.
He does.
Very interesting. They've got Tron 3 coming out, Jurassic World, Rebirth. Friday Night at Freddy's Part 2. Black Phone 2. There's one called The Electric State, which is going straight to Netflix that has Millie Bobby Brown and Chris Pratt in it. Should be wild. There's the new Bridget Jones movie. Mad About the Boy. Until Dawn. Nobody 2. There's a bunch of different ones. They've obviously got Superman. James Gunn's Superman.
I'm watching you name all these movies. Do you know there's only one, which is the Black Phone, that I've seen out of all of these franchises?
They're remaking The Running Man, the Arnold Schwarzenegger film from the 80s. Now You Can See Me 3.
Okay,
now
that
you
one
see
I'm
me
keen
3.
For. Dan Radcliffe is mental and he's in that film.
I don't know if he's in the third one. I assume he will be because he was like the villain in 2.
Yeah.
I just looked at the cast list and no, he is not.
That's fine. I did enjoy those.
Ariana Greenblatt is in it though. Interesting.
And she's doing well.
Rosamund Pike is in it as well. She is doing quite well. She was in Borderlands. She was probably the best part of Borderlands. Yeah, there's a few other different films, but like there's stuff in there that should be pretty good, and obviously things will get announced as they go as well.
I'm keen for all the indies because that's where I'm at with cinema now, which is so kind of disappointing because I...
Tent poles.
I was never going to be like... I mean, I always liked indies, but I was never like pretentious about it. I was like, yeah, I like every... Like I like going to see like the big tent poles and popcorn flicks, and I also like the indie films, but now it's just... kind of none of them kind of live up to what they should be living up to because they're like banking on like we're part of a franchise and we just threw money at it, so it's kind of just like they're not doing it for me anymore.
I think there's good and bad franchises out there. Like I think Mission Impossible has been getting progressively better since it started.
Oh yeah,
which is not a lot of franchises can say that.
No,
if you look at Fast and Furious, it's gone completely the opposite direction. The MCUs is what it is. It's kind of a bit of a mess at the moment. It's because they've got the Fantastic Four coming out and Captain America.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'll see that.
Because, yeah, I know. We've spoken about that. Avatar is Avatar. It looks incredible.
I haven't seen
the
second
stories
one.
Are average.
Still haven't seen it. Yeah. I didn't feel like I needed to after you and Ben called me immediately after seeing it and filled me in.
Yeah. It starts strong. It does what the Harry Potter 7 book does. Starts really strong with a lot of events, them just doing nothing for like 80% of it, and then something big happens at the end. And you're like, if it just cut down that middle part and became like, I don't know, a two-hour film, just under two-hour film, yeah, tight, awesome. But it's like 3 hours something. And you're just like, oh my God, I don't need to see this same character swimming with a whale again. I'm done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's just needs to be tighter. Because apparently the third one, which is called Fire and Ash, apparently there's like rumors out there it's going to be nearly 4 hours long. Yeah. It's like, just make more. Clearly you need to split something up here. Or be better at editing. Oh, something.
Jesus Christ. All right.
It's James Cameron. Yeah, there's not many films you've got that are under like 3 hours.
No.
But that's pretty much the best and worst of 2024. But let's get into... the best and worst of 1989, and what a year that was.
What a year. There's actually so many bangers on here that there's so many I just haven't seen and didn't get to.
There is a lot of bangers. I agree with you entirely. I saw a whole 10 days of this year and that decade because I was born on the 21st.
Oh, right. I was like, what are you talking about? You're like, I saw a whole 10 days of this.
Yeah. It was a wild time. And let's get started. What was probably the biggest film that you kind of enjoyed from the ones that you've seen recently?
God, that's so
in
hard.
In that year?
There's so many good ones. I'm just looking through like all these like really good ones and I don't know. I can tell you one of the ones I watched this week that I found.
Yeah, okay.
Like very cool. I watched Sex, Lies, and Videotape.
Oh, I didn't get a chance to.
Holy crap. I found this. I had to go like a legal weird website and pray that I wouldn't get a virus.
LimeWire. Yeah, tell me about
it's
it.
Right. I have... protection on my computers.
Always gonna have protection.
This is a I know I said it. I was like, well, this is a Steven
Soderbergh moment. Keep going.
I'm gonna start again. This was a Steven Soderbergh film, and the cast is like it's four main. You've got Andy McDowell as Anne. You've got Peter Gallagher as John, and those two are married.
Mm-hmm.
James Spader as Graham, who's this like friend of his.
Mm-hmm.
And then Laura San Giacomo, who it was big at that time because she played Kit DeLuca in Pretty Woman.
Right.
So she was coming,
seen.
Like, I don't know if it was a, I think it must have been.
Pretty Woman's after that. I think it's a 1990 film.
But like, you know, like that, around that time sphere. She was big. Yeah. And she plays Andy McDowell's like sister, and Andy McDowell's character is like, you know, really buttoned up and like proper, and she's a bit neurotic. She's going to therapy, and her sister's kind of a ho.
Yeah. So one's frigid, one's pretty liberal.
Yeah, liberal enough that she's sleeping
with the husband.
The husband.
Yeah, I'm gonna go. That's what's gonna happen.
Yeah, you know, but she's like, look, we can end this anytime you want.
Yeah, right.
So you know,
it's funny because Peter Gallagher is, like, he's the dad in the OC, and he's, like, a real dad in that. Like, he's, like, real homely and stuff. And Sandy Coward, like, So when I go to watch this, all I'm going to see is like him as that. I'm like, I won't be able to. He's also in Center Stage, by the way, randomly. I think he's like the instructor. Carry on.
I don't even know what you're talking about. But no, this one was like one of those like surprise movies where you don't expect to like.
Really like it.
Really like it. Yeah. And so it's the two, they're married. It's the sister who's sleeping with the husband, having an affair, whatever. And then James Spader is like the friend, and he comes to stay with Annie McDowell and Peter Gallagher's characters just for a bit. And he's got this thing where he's impotent.
Yeah.
Self-appointed. But he shoots women talking about their sexual experiences.
Yeah, okay.
Like, you know, like a sit down they just took, which is like.
Hence the videotape
weirdly
part.
Intimate, but also very removed because it's through like a lens.
Lens, yeah.
And it's those four and their relationship while all this is happening. It's very like enclosed because it pretty much the whole film is it within like the married couple's house, the sister's house, and then the sister's, the therapist's office, and then the sister's workplace. Like it's self-contained.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, like just a fantastic film that just, it's just one of those really intimate films, but
yeah.
Yeah, and it's not super, like you'd think with a title like that, you'd be like, ooh, this is going to be like super saucy, raunchy and like you see a lot. You don't actually see as much as you think.
It's the you know? Relationship's the more of the point.
But yeah, it's, if you can find this one.
I think it wasn't on SBS?
No.
It was on SBS.
No, it's one to watch though. Definitely.
I will find it because I did want to see it.
I was like,
well.
I'm going to pick this up one day when it pops up somewhere. Yeah. Like, thrift store or something cheap because.
eBay might have it for cheap. I'll have a look.
I'm not that desperate now because I've seen it, but no, definitely worth the watch. That was like a secret surprise this week because I watched some that weren't that good this week from that era.
Yeah. I mean, not all of them from 1989 were perfect.
Oh, no. I watched Field of Dreams.
Yeah. I've been holding off on that one. But
it wasn't.
Isn't the one where he builds the baseball field and
it's a weird,
the ghosts play there and he interacts with them? It's very strange.
It has like a. It comes together in the end and it's very like family feel goody type film of like the late 80s. But also you're like, what the?
What like, the hell?
Yeah, because it's like
he hears a voice
yeah. like, which isn't God. So I don't know whose voice it is, but he hears a voice. He builds a field.
Yep.
He can see the dead players on the field. His family can see it, but like his wife's brother can't see it, so they're all like, these guys are mental. And then he goes on like a road trip and just like picks up people and does all this stuff and gets these messages and then it all comes together in the end. And it's like, I don't know, it's one of those ones that you kind of watch and you're like, God, this would have been like someone's like family movie that they watched every week.
You know it would have been,
but you watch it now and you're like,
no. It just doesn't hold up in terms of a good family movie.
Doesn't hold up. And then I watched Driving Miss Daisy too, which won the Academy Award.
When you compare that to Do the Right Thing.
It's so lackluster.
Yeah, I hear that too.
It's this, you know, old white woman in the South.
Yeah.
She, you know, has one lady, like one black lady that helps clean her house or whatever, but she's like, it's different. She's part of the family. Whatever. Who knows? And then the son's like, cool, you need a driver because it starts where she like drives her car.
Yeah, and
like,
she can't.
She crashes it or whatever. And they're like, you need a driver. So she gets this driver, Morgan Freeman. They're like at odds, but then eventually like they come to be friends. Not quite lovers, but like whatever. There's definitely like a connection there that goes over like the span of like 30 years, but it's like you can barely tell.
Yeah, because they don't put up much makeup.
It's one of those
makeup,
ones you're like, has time passed? Not sure. And then it gets to the end, you're like, oh, clearly it had passed.
Because
It
wasn't just a week.
Yeah, and then it's like they're talking about racism, but they don't have a talk about racism. Yeah. So it's like, what was the
point?
Point? Because you didn't really dive deep. It won the Academy Award because
the Academy doesn't really want to kind of pick ones that really press the issue.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, especially
it just
back then.
Didn't feel like a big film of that year, especially when I'm now looking at like other ones.
Yeah.
You mentioned Do the Right Thing.
Well, Do the Right Thing, we watched I watched last night. You've got it. Like it's yours. So you've seen it. Mm-hmm. And it pretty much tackles the same issues, right? Like it's a melting pot of characters coming together in this one kind of day. It's a hot day. And then it comes into a head in terms of a situation happens. And it, without saying it, but it's about, it doesn't explicitly say anything about racism, but it's saying everything about racism as well at the same time.
You're just living the experience of those people at that time in that place. And it's very racist, and you feel it through their experience rather than being told how to feel about it.
I think that was surprising that Spike Lee did not get nominated at all that year for anything.
Now
that film.
He's like Spike Lee.
Yeah. I think the lead, one of the leads got nominated for Best Supporting Actor in it. The guy who plays Sal, the white dude, which is like, oh, okay. Yeah, it's a really good film, and it's really kind of topical because it's unfortunate the fact that you could probably pick up this movie and kind of like, you know, double click it and drag it over to 2024 and still have the same issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're in a cesspool.
Yeah, it's kind of really, really sad, but it was a really good watch because there's some really like funny moments in it as well at the same time. It's a great film.
Yeah.
Like, it's really well done. And it's got so many actors that are starting their careers in it as well. It's got like, I'm going to probably butcher this, Giancarlo Esposito in it as one of his first roles. He's like the young guy called Buggin' Out. Mm-hmm. He's the one that's really pushing to get like some African-American people up in the pizzeria on the Hall of Fame because it's all Italian kind of famous people because Sal's Italian. Yeah. He's the one who owns it. It's also got Martin Lawrence as one of the like the bully kids that are like basically just they're just like troublemakers in
Samuel
the street.
Samuel Jackson's big in
Samuel
this film.
Jackson's the radio guy in one of his first roles. It's incredible. Obviously Spike Lee acts in it as well. It's got Rosie Perez in one of her first roles as well. It's a huge movie.
The fact that I picked that up for like about a buck is insane. I was like, I don't know if I should buy it.
Now you're like, no, definitely. Yeah. It's worth it. It was a good film. I'm glad I saw it. I'm surprised I slept on it.
Mm.
No one's really told me about it too
No,
much
that
before.
Was with me. I just saw it at work and I was like, oh, it's like I've heard about it. It's a dollar. Should I buy it or is it a waste of my money?
Worth a dollar. So I watched that this week. One that really speaks to me from this year is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
I know, I still haven't seen it, but I knew you could speak on it, so I just left it.
So this is a family tradition for me. My parents will put this on Christmas every year. We will watch this every single year. It's so good. It's like the third one in the Vacation series, and Chevy Chase in his prime, like it's the funniest one out of the National Lampoon's for sure. Like it's just escapades, but it's all just them at home during this Christmas. But it's all the idea of like when family comes to visit for Christmas, those situations that you get in when it's just family, right? Like, yeah, you can relate to it. I think it's because it's you can see your own family in some parts of it to a degree. It's just holiday hijinks. It's funny because the neighbors, they piss off the neighbors throughout the whole film. And the neighbor is Elaine from Seinfeld in it. And she's this really yuppie character and she's all like proper. And you got Chevy Chase who's just absolutely crazy in this. And just the juxtaposition between the two, it's really funny.
That's amazing.
Really good film.
Yeah.
Really a lot of fun. A lot of fun. You watched Bill and Ted this week.
I did. I watched Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Yeah. I'd never seen this film. I had fun with it.
It's good, right? Like, it's been
fun. Yeah, I had no idea what it was about.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, obviously they went on an excellent adventure. That much I got from the title. but I didn't realize that, like, they went back through time and whatever. Because I've never just picked
just
up the back
really
of it and
it.
Read about what it's about.
Yeah, yeah.
I had fun with it.
Yeah.
Keanu Reeves. Oh, man. It's like most excellent dude. So much.
Yeah. They're
he
having fun
an
with
idiot
it, right?
So like, well. He's just like,
Yeah. It's a good, fun teenage, like, family film.
Yeah.
Like, these two, like, simple, silly teenagers that are just trying to, like, get by, basically.
Get
through your day. Oh, that's bogus. Like, just the way they speak and that. Yeah. Keanu Reeves is very airheaded in this. It's very fun. I haven't seen the second one, Bogus Journey, yet, but I want to. And then there's a third one as well, which is Face the Music, where they look hella old.
Oh my god,
because I looked at the picture of them after like looking at the cover of this one. I'm like, oh, that's right, it's like 40 years later.
Yeah,
it's rough. This week I watched Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
I've not seen it. I mean maybe I have in parts.
Yeah, it's one of those where you're like, oh, all three of the movies kind of blend together, but they don't. I watched all three of these movies this week because I watched the first one and I was like, yeah, okay, cool, I really like the first one. The first one's where like here's two kids. Because it's got Rick Moranis in it.
Is this the first one?
This is the first one. He's got his two kids and then the neighbor's two kids accidentally get shrunk. And then he comes upstairs and he sweeps them into a bag of rubbish and puts them outside in the yard. So they have to make their way from the rubbish bag in the yard all the way across the yard to the back to the house. And like it's just things that would happen in a yard, right? Like the sprinklers accidentally turn on and they make friends with an ant. they have to first a scorpion and they sleep in a Lego brick. Like that kind of, it's yeah. fun. It's the first one's really good. And Rick Moranis is really funny as the neurotic, like inventor type dad. So then I watched the second two. The second one's from 1992. It wasn't as good. They have another kid, like the kids were at two. Like,
what's the second one called?
Honey, I Blew Up the Kid.
Uh-huh.
And then the third one's Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves.
Okay. I think I've just kind of put them all together.
The second one's where he takes the younger kid, the third one that's not in the office, the first one. They take him to the lab and he accidentally runs into the ray that they're working on that blows things, gets things bigger. But they don't realize it. So when they take him home, he's like 7 foot tall and then electrical currents cause him to get bigger and bigger. By the end of the film, he's like walking through Las Vegas, like, and they have to work out how to like make him small.
Right.
It's not as good. Like, it's not as fun as the, like, it's not as adventure-y as the first one. It's just a bit silly. And then the third one's really bad because it was not a cinema release movie. Uh-huh. It was a direct to VHS. It's even not even like widescreen. It's like 4x3. It's like a square.
For the little like, whatever the TVs were called. I don't know.
Like reverse dome.
The ones we all had. I don't know. I was too young to be like, it was just a TV to me.
Yeah, they were the square ones.
Yeah, and you could go really close to it and your hair would static. Get static.
Yeah.
Oh, that was fun.
We had like two or three of those. But yeah, so it was a director, and so the budget was like a fifth of what the first two films were. So it's mostly just CGI screen. It's really bad. The acting's really poor. They replaced the mum actress in the third one. The only like saving grace is it's got a really young Mila Kunis in it as one of the teenage characters. And you're like, what is this?
Is that like before she did?
It's her first role or something.
Right. So before she was on 70s.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Before that, it was crazy. But like, the story's not as great. Yet again, they have to work their way through the house and they're watching what the kids are doing when they're not there and confront issues and blah, blah, blah. It's just not as good. So first one was, but the rest weren't, unfortunately.
Right. Speaking of, remember how I said there were bangers on TV last night? One of the other ones they had on, which is relevant to today, was When Harry Met Sally.
Oh.
That was also on TV. And I was like,
that's a lot of good films
it was
in
like,
a row.
I was like, and then Harry Potter on one channel. I was like, what are we picking? There are so many options.
Picture in picture, all four.
Yeah, literally. Let's watch them all at once. Yeah,
all at once.
No, but have you seen, you've still not watched When Harry Met Sally?
I can't find it.
I've got it.
Oh, I'll bring it. Yeah.
Well, I haven't, I need to test it actually because I bought it from like Bookfest.
And you're not sure if it plays.
No, but it looks fine.
Okay.
I love this movie. It's Nora Ephron and she makes classics, but this one in particular, it is like the perfect rom-com. And you know me, I'm like, nah, take them or leave them. Not really a rom-com.
It depends.
Girl.
It really depends.
But this one is just all of the beats for a perfect rom-com like came from this film. It's all jazz soundtrack. I've got it, the soundtrack. Did I tell you about
I know you've got it. Yeah.
I got
roasted a photo of it.
For that one.
I don't know why. It's fine.
I lied and said, I'm getting this for a customer. And the guy's like, okay. Oh, yeah, I'll transfer it. I'm like, I need this.
I need it for me.
But yeah, I mean, it's just the quintessential rom-com.
Yeah.
Just Meg Ryan, Billy Crystal, Carrie Fisher. Everyone's in this film. And it's just, there's nothing you can really talk about.
Wrong.
That's wrong with it. Mm. It's just solid. That's all I got. I can't.
If you can't fault it. No notes. Dead Poets Society.
Jinx.
We're on the same wavelength.
You seen it?
I saw it this year, yeah. I saw it about 2-3 months ago.
Yeah.
I watched it for your week because I thought it was 97. I didn't look it up. I just put it on. And then I looked afterwards. I was like, oh, well, at least I've saved that one for the bag.
Yeah, I don't remember the first time I saw this one. I think maybe I was in high school.
Yeah.
The first time I watched this. But this one's... solid.
It's solid. It holds up.
Oh, Captain, my Captain.
That's what I was like. Oh, Captain, my Captain. They all stand on the table at the end. It's a beautiful film.
It's a really beautiful film.
There's obviously you get really frustrated at certain points, especially with that kid's parents, because you just want to shake him and go, just listen to him. Just listen. You're not listening.
It's a quietly dark film. Like it is, I always forget that there's like the
what happens with the kid. Yeah.
And then you start watching.
Yeah, it's rough. Yeah. It's rough. Is it
Ethan Hawke?
Ethan Hawke's one of the young boys in it, which is wild. It's 1989.
Yeah,
it's crazy. It's really good. Obviously, Robin Williams was an absolute genius at comedy and drama.
I loved him so much.
He was fantastic. Any film with him, you go, yep, this is going to be good. Especially ones like that. They're so good.
I'm surprised that one didn't win more. To be honest,
I agree.
But then Yeah.
It was up against some other real big tent poles from that year as well. You had some franchise ones like Batman, the first Batman from the 1980s series. You had Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. And then you had Back to the Future Part 2.
Which I don't know if I've seen probably.
The second one's where they go to the future. They actually go to the future.
I think I've definitely seen parts of it like on TV, but I've never sat down with it.
They filmed part 2 and 3 back to back after the first one. I like 2 probably the best.
Yeah, I do. I do really want to watch it. It's not like I haven't intentionally been avoiding it.
I'm going to try and pick them up as well at some point because they are like they're those iconic films you just want to own as well. Like it's like, oh yeah, I've got all Star Wars. Yeah, I've got all the Indiana Jones. I've got all the, you know.
Yeah.
Jurassic Parks or something.
Get them while you can.
Yeah, well, physical media is dwindling.
It is.
Yeah.
And like Heathers.
Heathers.
That's one of my cult classics. Have you seen it yet?
I have seen Heathers.
I couldn't remember.
I watched it probably about a year ago now.
There was a while there that you hadn't. And I was like, dude, this is a cult classic.
I think I watched it for Winona Ryder. Did we do I don't think we did a Winona Ryder episode, but I think I watched it before Do Revenge maybe or something like that. I think we might have. I can't remember. It would have been last year. And I have seen it.
No, we did a Fincher. I think I was watching a lot of Winona Ryder films inadvertently. It was a blur.
Yeah. Because Beetlejuice, I think we also like, Beetlejuice and also Mean Girls. I think we're on, like comparing it at some point because it is very similar to Mean Girls in terms of like there's a click.
This was like this one and then Jawbreaker and then you got Mean Girls and then Do Revenge.
Do Revenge is very similar. Yeah, they're all the same genre,
This one I started watching on the plane back from L.A., and it was like, F me gently with a chainsaw. And I was like, I don't know what this film is. Hang on, what? And I think I stopped watching because I was like, no, I'm going to want to go home and watch this properly. And then I ended up watching Million Dollar Baby. And you know what? Mistakes were made.
That's a heartbreaking film.
I know. I ugly sobbed for like an
Clint
hour.
Clint Eastwood's best directing role, like ever.
I can't watch it again. Like there was like snot. It was just.
That is so rough, that film.
On a plane with no sleep.
Like a phenomenal film.
I was going over 24 hours no sleep watching that film.
just bawling your eyes out.
Oh, but anyway, yeah. Heather's like, what a cult classic.
A lot of fun. Is that Christian Slater as
as JD.
The bad boy? Yeah. It's I remember that. It's wild. I need to watch it again because it's a lot of fun.
It's a
lot of fun. Yeah, it reminds me a lot of Mean Girls, but a little bit more
scathing. It's
darker.
Yeah, definitely darker.
It's not as PG as Mean Girls, but it's
No, there's a lot of murder and stuff.
There is a lot of murder in it.
Yeah.
And they have to confront each other at the end in the school. I remember that. Yeah. It's a good film.
Veronica, you look like hell. I just got back.
That's right at the end when she's smoking. Yeah. Roadhouse, obviously, I watched Roadhouse just before the new Jake Gyllenhaal one came out, like the remake.
Yeah, I've yet to get to it, but I shall.
It's Patrick Swayze at his absolute best. And it's funny watching all the bar brawls in that one because it's like...
So it's tame.
It's tame, but it's also chaotic at the same time because there was no choreography really compared to what they do today with fight scenes where it's exactly perfect. Yeah. You've got to hit there and that hits there. It's just them throwing each other around a room, like basically. It's very funny. It's a good film. It's just Patrick Swayze being Patrick Swayze.
Yeah. Little Mermaid, Pet Sematary.
Yes, I haven't seen Pet Sematary. This Say Anything with the boombox.
I tried to find that this week.
Same. I wanted to watch it.
Couldn't get to it.
I did watch Lethal Weapon 2 this week because that was 1989.
I haven't officially seen any of the Lethal Weapons.
I mean, I've only seen now 2. So I'm not much ahead of you.
I mean, I've seen them, but not like officially seen them. Uncle Buck. Do you remember Uncle Buck?
I do remember. I haven't seen it. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, no, I haven't seen it. It's got John Candy, Macaulay Culkin, a bunch of different people from that. It's very much like Home Alone-ish. Is it a John Hughes film? Well, that's why.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Basically, like, their parents go out of town and, like, Uncle Buck's got to look after you. And, like, it's Macaulay Culkin being Macaulay Culkin. There's, like, a middle kid in there as well, played by Gabby Hoffman, who was massive at the time.
Yeah.
And, like, Macaulay Culkin. And then I think it looks like, I don't know, there's an older sister as well. And I remember her plotline a lot because she's got a deadbeat boyfriend. And she and him and Uncle Buck just don't get along because she's like, this is my dumb Uncle Buck. Like, get out of here.
I'm guessing character arc is he looks after her towards the end.
Literally, like, puts the boyfriend in the trunk of his car, ties him up, drives him out to, like, a park and, like, leaves him there. She's like, thanks, Uncle Buck. And then they have, like, a really good moment.
Yeah.
But I remember watching that, like, as a young kid and I was like, whoa,
Whoa.
Whoa.
I do want to see it. Yeah, I just haven't got to. There's one film you mentioned to me this week and you're like, it was dull. And I want to know why. It was Weekend at Bernie's.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me why you didn't love this. Because I've been wanting to watch this for years. I just haven't got around to it.
It's one of those comedies where I think if it's not – and time plays a big part in it. When you think it's going to be significantly funnier than it maybe is, you watch it and you're like
– oh, that wasn't what I expected to be.
I thought it was going
to
be a bit more. I don't know. Like, there's hijinks, but it's not like – big hijinks. I think it looks funnier than it is.
I think that's the idea of it. It's like, oh, let's make this guy look like a puppet.
But like the whole thing's like kind of long. The main characters, like the two boys, like they're so stupid, but not like funny stupid. Just like
stupid.
You're not really rooting for them. You're like, okay. I mean, dude, the guy that plays, who's the actor?
He's one of the Brat Pack boys.
That plays Bernie, Terry Kissler, who plays Bernie, is like, oh my God, hands down to him. He plays a dead guy so well. Oh my God. Like,
you just have to do this. Like,
I know,
like,
but they're doing crazy crap to him and he's just still. Like, I don't know. I think the gag
outruns its. Outruns there's a its second thing. Film.
Yeah, it's crazy. Two films. I don't know. It's one of those ones where, like, you think it's going to be something and then it's just kind of not.
I think it's also on SBS. I might check it out. It
drags out. Yeah, that's how I ended up watching it.
Yeah.
It's not bad. It's just not great.
Yeah. This was
in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, if it's one of your favorites, I'm not trying to
have a go.
Have a go. It just didn't do it for me.
This was the year where horror was in its fifth iteration. It was Halloween 5. It was Friday the 13th. Jason Takes Manhattan and The Nightmare on Elm Street 5. So they're all competing with each other each year. They were coming out. I haven't seen any of them yet because I've only seen the first iterations of those three series. I haven't watched any further. It was The Karate Kid Part 3, I think, or Part 2.
Yeah,
part
I haven't seen Part 3.
Neither. Parenthood, I have seen this when I was like 5 years old. It's Steve Martin's, like one of his bigger films.
Did this spawn a show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was based on this movie. Look Who's Talking, with John Travolta and Kirstie Alley.
I've not seen it, but I know of it.
It's where the kids talk.
Yeah.
But you, So you hear them.
I've watched Steel Magnolias.
Yeah.
That one's like, it's big from that time. The cast is stacked. It's Sally Field, Dolly Parton, Shirley MacLaine, Julia Roberts, Olympia Dukakis. Like, it's huge. It's one of those ones that, like, it's that, like, feel good thing, but then, like, oh, tragedy strikes and then you're like, just killed a generation of people. It didn't hurt me that much. I mean, it was emotional, don't get me wrong. But like,
but it wasn't.
It was that film for a generation that just made women just sob. And I say women because it was at this time, these kind of movies were like pitched as like women films.
I know what you mean.
Very separate. But now it's just a drama. But back then it was like, it's a women film. But it's pretty good. That's kind of all I got for...
Yeah, that's me too. I mean, we've spoken about probably nearly close to like 40 films collectively there.
Kiki's Delivery Service was another one.
Yeah, it was in that year, but we obviously did a separate episode.
I don't think they had like the reverence here until very recently.
No, when you could just start buying the collection is when you
And I think, Netflix did a lot because it did the English dub, which,
And you can get them all at one place.
That's pretty much it. Oh, and then there's Knick Knack, which is... you. Probably don't even know what I'm talking about. Do you remember this? It was one of those Disney shorts.
I looked it up. It was the Pixar's first thing.
Yeah, it was Pixar's
first
short
little short.
And they
I was going to watch it. It's still on Disney Plus.
old enough to remember, some of the younger listeners maybe not. When you'd go to see a Pixar film as a kid, instead of playing, I don't know if it was instead of or as well as.
They'd play it at the front.
They'd play like a Pixar short at the front of your film. So you kind of got two films for one. It was really fun. And Knick Knack, I don't know if I saw it at the cinemas, probably not, but it was on like maybe the Finding Nemo bonus or something. And oh man, I used to watch this on repeat. I love Knick Knack.
Yeah. It's like, it's like Pixar's first like foray into like CGI animation.
Yeah. And like, it was set in a snow globe and the little snowman within the snow globe wants to get out of
the globe. Thing. Yeah.
And that's the whole thing, but it was fantastic.
Yeah. Pixar was great.
Pixar was great. It was John Lasseter, so he's done like...
all of them, pretty much.
All of them.
Well, he's done Toy Story, all the Toy Stories and stuff, But that pretty much wraps up our episode and our year, our second season of Binge List and Box Office Hits. Thank you so much for listening throughout the entire year and obviously last year as well.
Yeah, it's a big one.
We've been going crazy.
I'm gonna wrap up.
Yeah.
But for everyone that's like wants to keep up with us in the meantime, obviously we've still got like our Instagrams and stuff, and I'll plug that in a sec. But if you want to follow us on Letterboxd, do you know what your Letterboxd thing is? I'm trying to find what mine is.
Yeah, I can get it.
Mine is, if you did want to follow me on Letterboxd, feel free. I'm sort of still using that. It's Letitia, L-E-T-I-T-I-A, and a little underscore.
Mine you'll find is, me. Slash Shannon Holiday. Two L's in holiday or one word? Shannon Holiday. So if you look that up, please follow me on Letterboxd. I'll be obviously logging everything I do over the next summer break. I mean, I log everything. So check me out, check out reviews, and yeah, keep in touch.
Yeah, I'm on there. We'll plug it on our Instagram as well, just so you can keep up with us as it goes. But yeah, if you're not following us on social media, we're on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at BingeLists. But also you can feel free to email us at bingelistandboxofficehits@gmail.com in the meantime. All those emails come to my inbox, so I now see them.
Yes.
But yeah, thank you for another year. It's been so much fun. If you want to see particular things next year, feel free to write in with some requests. We love getting through them as much as we like just throwing stuff at you.
Mm-hmm.
We're not entirely sure yet what next year is going to look like in terms of
when
workload and when we'll be back, but we will keep in touch and let you know.
Yeah. We'll do a bit of a post before.
Yeah.
And
so thank you so much to old listeners, new listeners. If you find us over the break, we will be back. Have fun watching movies. We definitely will now that we have free reign. I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. I don't know where to start.
Free range chicken. As I said to you before, the episode, you're a free range chicken now, no longer caged eggs. And you're like, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, I knew what you mean. But I'm like, what? And I'm the crazy one.
I'm crazy. I'm just as crazy.
But on that note, we're going to get locked up. You guys have a fun time and we will be back.
Yeah, we'll see you in 2025. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye.